spoken to Yachis Lee this week on the radio, when she was on the radio.
Yeah.
And I asked, the union problem's been settled, and she said they were, and there was one labor drawn by the union before the National Labor Relations Board. But she said the labor problems were settled.
There are more problems here than are defined by the labor relations.
I don't know what.
For instance, are people like me to be represented by a union?
Well, I think she said that the board of directors and she wanted to pay all the producers on the radio there a living wage. And
I haven't gotten any notification or checks to that effect.
Because she had one person there who died, and she had to find money to bury him, one of the producers on the radio. So that's what she said on the radio and talkback, as I recall.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
you're on the air. And you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Bob, how are you?
Okay. Who's this?
It's Howie, Bob.
Who's that?
Howie.
How you doing?
How are you?
Good. Howie from the Bronx.
Yeah, I know. Howie from the telescopes.
That's it, Bob. We're headed up to a star party this weekend in Pennsylvania. There may not be any stars, I don't know, visible. But, Bob, I just wanted to tell you that I don't know if I'm living in an alternate universe, because yesterday I heard Utrice say, she inferentially referred to Amy Goodman by trying to put down the idea that the station is embattled. She said, I don't see that the station is embattled. No one's attacked me. So,
but I heard she said that David Burstein had accosted her. I guess you can be accosted without being attacked.
Well, I just think it's the kind of mentality that says what's necessary, pulls it out of the air at the moment just to complete the controversy and win the argument. I don't think that truth is a factor in what she has to say. But that was very very odd, and I would invite people to count the number of lies in the lead, put beans in the jar. I don't know the number of contradictions in her speech, but that one shook me up so much I thought I must be in an alternate universe.
Well, there are a lot of universes out there, and we're stuck in one of the alternate ones. Remember, Charlie Chaplin made a film called The Great Dictator, and in The Great Dictator, he...
You're on the air, hi.
Yes, hi. Go ahead, finish your Great Dictator.
And in The Great Dictator, Chaplin plays a barber named Hinkle, who gets sent to a mental hospital in 1920, and he comes down in 1940, and all that there is all around him are Nazis. And he's this little Jewish barber, and he's trapped in this alternative universe where he's not allowed to say anything or express any ideas. And he's caught in a gag order of Nazi Germany 1940. So I can relate to where the caller is coming from, because this is kind of a parallel universe, and I thought it was interesting in that NPR report how Utrice actually said there's a war against individualism, and individualism must be stamped out. Now, if you stamp out the individual, then all you're left with is the collective, and the collective has branded certain peoples as enemies of the state. Are you going to survive within the collective, or are you going to be banished? Like, I don't think because people act as individuals like Amy Goodman or even Bob Fass that they should be singled out or punished. Another interesting thing is she also mentioned that it's a policy to attack Amy Goodman on air. Like, you know, that's mentioned within that NPR report in because of Amy Goodman's individualism. I don't think that these are great qualities, you know, to have, to be attacking people for individualism when they're the most, you know, famous and award-winning news reporters on the globe today. When Amy Goodman faced firing squads in East Timor and saw 200 to 300 people shot dead and reported it to the world, if she was an individual at that time, reporting things as an individual against corporate wishes, and she broke the story of genocide in East Timor. I think that individuals at WBAI need to be held up in great esteem and not to be smashed down like dogs.
Right.
You're on the air. Three. Yes.
Let me say something about misinformation, if I may. Bob?
Yeah.
One of the things that Utrice was discussing today in the fourth part of her monologue this week, she was discussing misinformation and how people are spreading misinformation. Well, she spread more misinformation today. If I wouldn't have been in the car, I would have made a note of every lie that came out of her mouth, particularly about the LAB, which you know I'm very familiar with. To say we had secret meetings is a lie. To say that she offered an alternative site is a lie. To say that she never got into a discussion with us about the fact that public comment is a part of an LAB meeting, and she refused on the basis of this security obsession that she, or whether it's an obsession or whether it's just a phony matter on her part is debatable. But nevertheless, this was one of the reasons why she refused our entrance to the station to have our meeting, because she felt that it was a security risk and that we were going to destroy the station. And well, and the consensus of the board, let me just finish this one point. The consensus of the board is not that we are trying to, or any of the concerned friends or any of the groups that are opposing her, are trying to destroy the station. We're trying to bring the station back, because what in effect happened on December 23rd was the fact that that was a counter coup. That the mission of the concerned friends and all the groups that are supporting the station or the way it was to prevent exactly what happened from happening, and they just finessed us. They got there before we did. And they said that we were trying to destroy the station. And I can't tell you how much I resent her whole attitude.
Well, another thing to keep in mind is Gary Knoll is starting a three-part...
Oh, right. There's going to be a report, an investigative report by Gary Knoll starting tomorrow.
A three-part investigative report on what he thinks...
Well, Radio Enigma is going to do an investigative report next week.
Right, like why can't you do an investigative report on your show in three parts that you promote?
What a good idea.
You know, like if Gary Knoll can do a report, and we know that he makes tremendous amounts of money off the station, why can't somebody who doesn't make a dime off the station and has given their lives blood to it, such as yourself, also do a report for the people, a report without the influence of all that money that Gary receives as his part of selling premiums here at WBAI. You know, why are some people allowed to speak for hours in shameful, shameless attacks on some of the best broadcasters at BAI or in the Pacifica Network?
Somebody else is trying to talk now, will you?
I think, hey, Bob.
Hi.
Last week's show was fantastic. All month long, I've been seeing just insane images of militarism and the guy with the stick and the gun, and you just totally brought it all out, and I thought that was fantastic, and that's why I love this radio station. And I want to say a bunch of things. I haven't heard what's been going on there this week. No one really can explain what went on in Berkeley. That's kind of just washed over. You know what I mean? Like, well, why the hell did they close the station? And when they closed the station, I heard Dr. Berry on Utrecia's show, and from her talking about what her mission for Pacifica was, she had no idea about the variety of programming.
Who is this?
My name is Paul. I live in Brooklyn.
Hi, Paul.
We talk every once in a while. But Dr. Berry had no idea about the variety of programming on BAI. It was clear. And I tried really hard to call her to ask her what she thought about certain juxtapositions of shows like Talk Rear and Beyond the Pale. And then we heard, oh my God, they're going to sell the station, they're going to sell the station, they're going to sell the station, they're going to sell the station. And once, from all sides, and then once the deal in Berkeley got resolved, the quote-unquote exile groups stopped talking about the fact they're going to sell the station and the impending crisis. And I heard Bernard say, no, they're not going to sell the station. And then whatever happened with Valerie Van Essler, and it comes to a crisis again. And the thing that's really happened that really pissed me off is great stuff, like the kind of programming you did last week, gets washed over. And earlier this week, I heard on the morning show them talking about should Sharpton wear dread. And I think they realized that it was a name. And it's just really distressing. And I just would want everyone to stop and think about what's important instead of getting so damn entrenched. Because, you know, it's really hard for me to reconcile. I called up Talkback, and sometimes I rant. I called up Talkback, and I was ranting about the cops. And I was partnered with a cop. And when I stopped ranting and listened, I learned something. And finally, this is the most upsetting thing to me. When I was like 17, I called up Samori, and I said some stupid shit. And he said to me, think about what you're saying. I like your passion, but think about what you're saying. And he said it in a loving, nurturing way. And I really wish that people would stop using, Samori would support this, Samori would support that. And because he's not with us, and he cannot speak for himself, to say Samori would support A or B is just, he can't do it, man. He's not there. And I got to say, man, I want to hear more about, I don't know. I've said it. And I love you all. And have a good night.
Hey, thank you.
Well, we do have free speech in America, Bob. It's important for the listeners to know that in America, we may not have health care coverage or good education, but we have a thing called the First Amendment, and we do have the right to free speech. And the only way...
Permitted speech.
No, that's not true. We have the right to free speech. Now, I know it's been said somewhere on these airwaves that there is no free speech. There is only permitted speech, and only what a certain person permits is what is called permitted speech. No, that is not true. We do have the right to free speech. It is our constitutional right. It is emblazoned. Someone said that if you go down to City Hall and say Giuliani is a dog, you'll go to jail. That's not right. You won't go to jail. Maybe if you disturb the peace or they get you on another charge, but they can actually convict you on saying things that are unpleasant or nasty, as long as it's not a direct violent threat. Then it's just free speech, and you will win the case because of the First Amendment. So when people tell us there is no free speech in America, and there is only permitted speech, and it has to pass a double board of who permits it, it has to get by the host caller before it's passed on to the guest caller. I mean, the host has to okay the caller's question, and then repeat his interpretation of the question to the guest. Because there's only permitted speech and not free speech, we're being handed a bill of goods. Because when
you're on the air,
when you live in a society with only permitted speech,
hold on.
In a police state.
Hold on, you're on the air.
Hi, Bob. My name's Rita. I'm a frequent listener. In fact, I listen almost all the time. And something that someone said just a minute ago really disturbed me. First of all, he was calling for you to do a documentary because you don't make a cent off of WBAI, and he said that Gary Null does. First of all, I'd like to know, is that true? Do you know if it's true?
Yeah, I believe it's true.
Reason I ask is because Gary's announced that he's unsalaried. I've heard it.
Well, he is not he is perhaps unsalaried, but he does... He does sell premiums, and he provides the premiums to the station, and he has some kind of a I mean, no one is going to have to take up a collection to bury Gary No.
But my understanding also is that, if I remember correctly, when he has been selling those premiums, he announced that he didn't make money off of these premiums. That donates them to the program, and that he...
I don't really know what arrangements he's made with the station. I'd be very interested to know.
Well, he's announced that he doesn't make any money off the station.
Oh, yeah?
He basically uses the station to give the information out that he gives out. Of course, people know about his products and the support groups and so on and so forth, and I think that's where he makes his money. I don't think he makes any money off WBAI. I'm pretty sure he said he doesn't.
Well,
I'd like to challenge that. I'd like to find out.
Well,
I'd appreciate if you could investigate it and let us know that we would know which is the truth.
Well,
because I think it's truth.
Well,
did he say it?
There were people that worked in the premium department for years. A small woman, Bob, who recently had a stroke.
Dorothy Altman,
who made actual statements that, yes, he got a piece of everything he sold on WBAI. And he does a lot of selling on BAI. And it is a fact that Bob Fast doesn't get one dime. And Bob Fast has been working at BAI for 40 years. He's the longest running employee. He gets not one dime. No health insurance.
That may be over today, but...
No health insurance, no benefits. So hopefully, Utrecht will tomorrow be putting him directly on salary, even though I know they're not raising much during the fundraisers. I think it'll go a long way towards soothing a lot of the anger out there if actually, after all these years, Bob receives some kind of remuneration for his services.
Well, if Gary's listening, I hope he will clarify all this for us tomorrow. Just for the sake of, having everybody understand. And even if he does make some money on the premiums, he raises more money than anybody else does for this station.
And he takes more of it home as well.
Well, if that's the case, then personally, I don't see how that can compromise his position with his investigation, because every investigation that Gary Null has ever done has been unbiased.
Now, you don't think he's shown a bias already in... his attitude towards the station and towards people who are claiming that
he claims to be taking a open position, not siding with anyone, doing an investigative report. And until we hear it, I don't think we need to be judging it.
Well, I think he's already tilted his hat in the fact that he's been doing everything he can to raise money and raise money and raise money
for the station, for either side, but to keep the station going. He says this every time. I hear it.
How does he live?
He have you not seen his vitamin and supplement business and the inventions he's done? He makes money off of that. He raises vegetables for his products. He does that on his own.
He sells on BAI.
But he doesn't sell it on BAI.
He does. He sells premiums, and he takes a piece of the premiums.
He sells premiums.
He's been doing it for 3 years.
He sells premiums.
And he takes a piece. So each premium
Well, I don't
sells.
Know that.
Well,
I'd
it's
like
been reported. Dorothy Altman worked with him for years, and she reported that he does. I'm sorry to bust your bubble.
Well, it's not busting a bubble, because the only thing I'm sure I've heard him say is he's not salaried. I'm not sure about the rest.
Of what he sells.
It
he
would be interesting.
He gets a weekly salary. He gets a piece of it.
Well,
it would be nice to
I'm gonna bust your bubbles, both of you.
I'll see you later, Bob.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. You're on the air. Can't get rid of this.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't eliminate that sound.
That's the way I felt at 3 this afternoon.
Oh. If you're calling now, you may be cut off completely while we try to eliminate that extraneous sound from the listen to that.
Well, I bought my favorite record.
you're on the air.
I think so, too.
How you do?
Okay. Hi, Bob. I'm the cannibal.
Cannibal.
Hey. It was my pleasure to meet you this week.
And mine to meet you.
All right. I'd like to read an update from the committee to remove the Pacifica board. As you all may know, one of the three lawsuits is the listener lawsuit, and the committee to remove the Pacifica board and Carol Spooner have done yeoperson work on this issue. Let me read something today written June 21, 2001. Dear friends, you should know that every email bulletin I send is forwarded directly to Pacifica's lawyers, so I cannot give you a full report here. On Monday, June 18th, lawyers for the plaintiffs in the three lawsuits met with lawyers for the Pacifica board majority. Our lawyers reported back to us, and we, the plaintiffs, decided to consult with the many concerned people in our communities before deciding how to proceed from here. Since last Friday, I have received several hundred emails in response to my request for your thoughts on settlement. I have read them all and am deeply grateful for your guidance, support, and trust. Many of your suggestions have been imaginative and detailed, others more general. The overriding priorities you have expressed, however, have been: 1. That the board majority, all but the 5 dissident board members on the national board, must all resign immediately and must have no control whatsoever over the future of Pacifica. 2. That there needs to be an interim board with both commitment to Pacifica's radical mission and enough knowledge of the situation to help us begin the difficult period of restoration. And 3. That Pacifica must be democratically restructured to give listener sponsors voting rights in order to prevent such unassailable corruption, to borrow a phrase, from ever again taking hold of Pacifica, or if it does, to provide a means of curing it short of lawsuits in the future. I do not know yet whether there will be further discussions with Pacifica's lawyers or any settlement discussions with the defendants. I am feeling both cautious and hopeful. Carol Spooner, Committee to Remove the Pacifica Board. And I think people can find links on the internet to the Committee to Remove the Pacifica Board and other places by going to WBAI.net.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Good night.
And you're on the radio.
Astros and Astros.
You're on the radio.
How you doing, Bob? Just wanted to respond to the very nice lady who called in questioning Gary's lack or presence of money earning from the station. And I speak as someone who's listened to Gary Noll for decades, and I love the guy, and I've learned a lot, and I've profited from his knowledge. But I think it's not a matter of anybody at the station actually overtly paying Gary to be there or him making money directly off of what he does on the air. It's not that simple. What Gary has fallen into is a situation where he has basically an hour a day, every day, infomercial promoting his own name and reputation and products and services. And I mean, he's a wealthy man. He owns thousands of acres of property. You know, the guy's probably, I would be willing to bet that he's probably, net worth is probably over $1 million, if, you know, if not a few times that. And I don't begrudge him earning his money. The guy puts out a lot of good stuff out there, and he saved lives. I don't begrudge him that.
I wonder what his net worth was when he first came to WBAI.
Right, probably a lot less than that. But he's the kind of person, he's got a following, and he would have a following even without WBAI. It might not be as large, because it provides a national platform. And the premiums, as far as I'm concerned, he should... See, I really objected when BAI started going the route of selling high-ticket premiums to basically, from my perspective, yuppies. I would have loved to have seen BAI go in the direction, now this is a fantasy, of getting $5 contributions from a couple of 100,000 people. That's what I wanted to see BAI become over the past 20 years, and it hasn't gone that way. BAI could still become that kind of station where it really becomes a rallying point for genuine alternative and genuine protest. Right now, we're being run by a president who's an illegitimate president. I won't say the word on the air. The effing president of the United States ripped us off in the election, and I hardly ever hear anybody in BAI talking about that. The big issue is this petty, stupid, mundane bull about who's power tripping whom. And the great thing in that report that you played from NPR is the sociologist who spoke about that syndrome of people, you know, gravitating toward one extreme or the other. It's like a bloody civil war. It's like the Serbs. It's insane. It's a form of literal insanity. And these are people who are very intelligent. Say what you will about Utrice, she is a very intelligent, articulate, got a higher IQ than most of the people I'll ever meet. And yet, from my perspective, her, on a psychic level, she's fallen into that trap of this bizarre, pathological, polar opposition. The same thing with Paul. I love Paul. I've heard Paul do great programming, Paul DiRienzo. And yet, if you heard him last night, he sounded like, at parts of his program, he sounded like a raving, paranoid. And I say this with great sadness and a heaviness in my heart. And I hope Paul, hangs tough, but hangs lovingly tough. And I think that a lot of the people who call up objecting to the new regime, who call up with a vindictive, spiteful, hateful tone, they just make people like Paul dig in their heels even deeper, and Utrice feel even more put upon. I really feel that there's a kind of COINTELPRO thing going on here, too. That,
right, I agree.
You know, that there are people who are profiting from BAI and its constituency being diverted and distracted from our real...
Who is this, man?
This is Nick. You've known me for years.
Sure.
On and off. And I just feel that it's a great pity and a great sadness and it's a great tragedy. And I suspect that if there is no compromise in the lawsuits, and if, heaven forbid, that the board as it exists somehow wins, that I think BAI's days as we know it are really numbered, because the only reason they've done anything halfway decent is because of the threat of the lawsuits, because they know that, I'm not going to go into it now, I'm not an attorney, I'm not an expert on it, but I've read a lot of stuff about the specifics, like that one gentleman who called in about Ms. Berry's comments about how Berkeley was taken over and why. There are so many tons and tons and thousands of facts and arguments to be made to support the case that the board has usurped democracy in terms of just common human decency, and that they have an agenda. I mean, the Houston station plays country music 90% of the time. There was an article on the internet about how that came from a Houston newspaper about how the commercial station in Houston actually had country music that came from what people bought in the stores, as opposed to what the country music record industry told them to play. And it was the Pacifica station that was playing the payola type stuff, and they were being outdone in terms of populist music by the commercial station. I mean, that's just one little factoid. It's a form of insanity what's going on there. And I think that if Gary Null, if my fear is borne out, and Gary does hatchet jobs on the people who are dissident there, and over the next 3 hours of his programming, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, I think it would behoove someone there whoever has the ability to give some airtime to people like Carol Spooner and the other folks to respond in specificity to Gary's program. Hopefully, he'll do a balanced and real. A really honest, sincere presentation. I'm going to try to tape it and listen to it. I think we all should, and I don't want to judge it too prematurely. But the indications are that he's already chosen his particular side. And I hope I'm wrong on that, but I think the same thing applies to Armand DeMille. He basically, he has a 1-hour infomercial for his practice. Of course, he doesn't take money directly. It's not that crass, and it's not that obvious. But you're reaching out to thousands of people every day, offering a few of them a few free therapy sessions. God bless you. But you're also promoting your practice. Lots of people come in and spend money at your practice and build up your reputation. So I think those people, whatever money they raise for the station, is far exceeded by how much they generate for their own, for their own reputation. It's immeasurable. It's a free commercial. Anyway, having said all of that, I just think that we all of us, and when I say us, I mean the people who are on my side of this issue, who believe that what's happened is wrong, I think we need to cut down on our own bitterness and resentment and anger, because all that does is it feeds into the monstrosity. It feeds into the negativity. I think we have to understand that people like Utrice and Paul, in their own minds, they honestly, sincerely believe they're doing the right thing. They don't see themselves as traitors or as evil or as monsters. I think there's something larger than any of us can see at the moment that is really I don't know how to describe it. There's some kind of a, I hate to use the word evil, but there's some kind of really malevolent forces out there that are capitalizing on this dissension. I don't know if I've spoken. Do you want to feed back anything I've said here? Does it make sense to you?
No, I want to thank you.
Okay. Enough said for now, then.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're on the air.
Bob, hi.
Hi.
Listen, I called back because also this is in response to that woman who called speaking about Gary Null's report. Gary actually, within about a month after the coup, I was listening to a show one day, and he mentioned then, I believe it was in January, that he was going to be doing an investigation of what's happened at the station. But he continued, and he said this. He said, and when I'm done, the people who are opposing the changes that are taking place here, when they hear my report, they're going to be ashamed and embarrassed to use those words. Now, to me, that's a contradiction. You can't say you're going to make a scientific report and then give the conclusion already, say how people are going to react to it if you don't know what the answer is going to be. So there's no doubt in my mind it's a foregone conclusion that it is going to be a subjective hatchet job with no scientific basis at all. I think it would be good if people, you know, continually call in and critique it and criticize and point to the areas where he didn't use scientific methodology, if indeed, you know, the report is given in detail. So, okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
I'll speak to you later.
You're on the air. Hello?
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi. Can I read something on the air if I turn down my radio?
Why not?
Great.
Who is this, by the way?
My name is Deborah. We've spoken occasionally in the past. This is a set of excerpts from a Supreme Court decision published in 1943 called West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett. Sometimes the Supreme Court, in reversing prior bad law, catches the idea and the aspirations of the way things ought to be. I find this a very moving and relevant and important piece of writing, and I hope you'll let me stick with it. The case was about the right of Jehovah's Witness parents to have their children not stand up, salute, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag in schools. And remember the date. It's 1943. Here's Justice Robert Jackson writing for the majority of the court. There is no doubt that in connection with the pledges, the flag is a form of utterance. Symbolism is a primitive but effective way of communicating ideas. The use of an emblem or flag to symbolize some system, idea, institution, or personality is a shortcut from mind to mind. Here, it is the state that employs a flag as a symbol of adherence to government as presently organized. It requires the individual to communicate by word and sign his acceptance of the political ideas it thus bespeaks. Objection to this form of communication, when coerced, is an old one, well known to the framers of the Bill of Rights. Validity of the asserted power to force an American citizen publicly to profess any statement of belief or to engage in any ceremony of assent to one presents questions of power that must be considered independently of any idea we may have as to the utility of the ceremony in question. Nor does the issue, as we see it, turn on one's possession of particular religious views or the sincerity with which they are held. While religion supplies appellees, here the Jehovah's Witnesses are the appellees, while religion supplies appellees' motive for enduring the discomforts of making the issue in this case, many citizens who do not share these religious views hold such a compulsory right to infringe constitutional liberty of the individual. It is not necessary to inquire whether nonconformist beliefs will exempt from the duty to salute unless we first find the power to make the salute a legal duty. The very purpose of a Bill of Rights was to withdraw certain subjects from the vicissitudes of political controversy, to place them beyond the reach of majorities and officials, and to establish them as legal principles to be applied by the courts. One's right to life, liberty, and property, to free speech, a free press, freedom of worship and assembly, and other fundamental rights may not be submitted to vote. They depend on the outcome of no elections. To believe that patriotism will not flourish if patriotic ceremonies are voluntary and spontaneous instead of a compulsory routine is to make an unflattering estimate of the appeal of our institutions to free minds. We can have intellectual individualism and the rich cultural diversities that we owe to exceptional minds only at the price of occasional eccentricity and abnormal attitudes. When they are so harmless to others or to the state as those we deal with here, the price is not too great. But freedom to differ is not limited to things that do not matter. That would be a mere shadow of freedom. The test of its substance, is the right to differ as to things that touch the heart of the existing order. If there is any fixed star in our constitutional constellation, it is that no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion, or force citizens to confess by word or act their faith therein, if there are any circumstances which permit an exception, they do not now occur to us. I think that Justice Jackson caught the spirit not just behind the way that a state and political organizations and entities and power must be constrained, but also the spirit that should animate all institutions that desire to promote freedom and liberty and the ability to protest that which one sees as wrong. I hope that you found what I read relevant to current events, whether they are the mayor's treatment of the citizens of New York or the treatment of the listenership by the present management of WBAI.
Thank you. That was very moving.
I thought I was going to tell a joke, too, but I kind of choked up, so I think I'm going to let it pass tonight.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yes.
Right.
Let me turn that on. There you go. Sorry. What I was listening to in Utrecht is like almost like an infomercial.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just putting together the lawsuits that are going on against Pacifica, and it seems like this week was a very timely thing for her to come on the air to voice her opinion, and it's almost. I can see that she has no, she's like in a catch-22 because she really has no power to influence Pacifica. Deals are made and she's powerless to do anything about them. Tomorrow a deal can be negotiated with the dissident lawsuit and she's out of a job. So in a way she's kind of caught up in something and this is her message to them. She was talking to us, but she's also talking to the Pacifica board because most of them are on the side of the, on the other side are black. So that's my message. That's what I'm getting out of this. This is her message to them on why you should be, why things should be able, why she should be able to speak her mind, and what they should be standing on. I think she's really caught out there, kind of lost, because she really has no. She's powerless to do anything. She's the manager of the station for now, but tomorrow a decision, a compromise could be made, and she's out. And she, personally, I think she really needs to be out, because I think she's kind of losing it. She's really choked up. I mean, not choked up, caught up in this thing of supremacy, and I haven't seen so many people, a person so really, what's the word I'm looking for? Bob, help me out with the word that's really, they're kind of really obsessed with this. How can you walk around with this obsession all day and think logically? You sound logic, but it's really kind of an obsessed individual, you know? And second of all, what's the deal with not telling anybody how much money the station made? You came on two weeks, yep. Asking people for money. You begged, you pleaded, you did this, you did that. Then when somebody asks you one question, how much money did you make, it's none of your business. I mean, how arrogant is that? Do you have an answer for that, Bob?
I'm not here to answer that question. I ask it myself.
You know what? And she's her worst. And the more she talks, the more you see she's the one with a big problem. The more she gets on this radio and talks about, and she makes common sense and uses these four-letter words, these big words, and she's trying to make everything so rational, and you lose it. You wind up losing it in the end, because if you have to listen to what she has to say, you would go mind-boggling. Yeah, it would be mind-boggling to you. You have to be a psychology student to get with this. And I don't know. I think she really needs to just maybe resign and just take it easy, calm down some, because, like, what would she do if she lost this job tomorrow? She's a candidate for suicide. What would she do? If Pacifica told her, listen, we made a deal, and sorry, you got to go, she'd probably jump off the roof somewhere. Because, I don't hate to see her do that, but...
I don't want to even consider that. I'm going to go on to another call.
Okay.
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I have some factual information to give you about Gary Noel's upcoming report.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Several weeks ago during the drive, Gary happened to mention my name disparagingly on his show as one of the people who was involved in the boycott, which he was railing against for several days. And he called us, in effect, foolish and silly and idiots. And I called him up, I'd known him for many years, and said, look, you've mentioned my name, you've got to let me come on and debate you, because your listeners believe everything you say, and you gave them no reason for the disparagement. And after arguing for a while, he agreed to let me come on and debate him. And I spent a week trying to confirm a date with him, and finally he left a message on my answering machine saying that, he lost his address book, but he asked Utrice, this is amazing, if he could debate me on the air, and she said no, and he was sorry, but that she'd be happy to talk to me in private, or that Bessie Wash would fly in and talk to me. Well, this is not acceptable. However, he said that he found both these women marvelous, straightforward, and upfront. And he also said that he was going to do his report, and that all those in the movement against the Pacifica National Board would be sorry and embarrassed and ashamed. Now, it's very clear that if Utrice is going to allow him to do a report in prime time, it's a report that she's found favorable. She would not allow anything in prime time that disagrees with either her or the Pacifica National Board's position.
Who is this, may I ask?
My name is Steve Brown, and I'm involved with various parts of the boycott, the struggle to remove the present Pacifica National Board, and I've been a listener for about 40 years. And so you can be sure that Gary's report will be negative. He He may or may not really know what's going on. Utrice gave him the name of several board members to call. I gave him the name of the other board members, the dissidents. I don't know if he ever called them. But Gary has not been to the station for 7 years. As you know, he broadcasts out of his own private studio, usually in his home. He never listens to the station, except possibly for rebroadcasts of his own programs. He has a lot of personal differences with the people who have been at the station for a long time, and he feels that whatever side they're on must be the wrong side. So look forward to his report as being against the people who are trying to remove the Pacifica board and to remove Utrice Lead. And that's it. By the way, Gary does not own thousands of acres. He owns dozens of acres. We used to own some land together in Florida. And although he is certainly well off, he is not a mega millionaire. And as far as I know, he does not make money from... when it's said he sells premiums on the air, what he does is persuade people to send their money to WBAI to get those premiums. It's my understanding that he does not.
And then he gives the premiums to the station?
Well, I don't exactly know if he gives them to the station. He may have a deal with the publisher, for they're mostly books and videos, to give them to the station at cost. I don't know the details of that, but he has stated many times he doesn't make any money from this. Whether that's literally true or emotionally true, I can't verify. That's my contribution to the discussion. You do a good show, Bob. I've listened to you for many years.
Thank you. This might be it.
I hope not. Look, Robert Knight is still on the air. I asked him why Utrice continues to let him broadcast, and he says he has no idea. She may not listen to a show, and she may not listen to your show.
Oh, she's been up here listening.
Oh, well, then she may like you more than she lets on.
I hope so. You're on the air.
Hey, okay. Bob.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, okay. This is a call from Lower Westchester. I call you up about every 3 years. I've been listening since July 5th, 1966.
All right.
Yeah, I remember the day. And because I was a young artist and I just got a week out of high school and we couldn't get, I was working on, right around the corner from the old station, 39th Street. This is on Madison Avenue. We couldn't get AM in a tall building, so we only got FM. So first show I heard was Larry Joseph. But I just have to acknowledge your magnificence, of course. And I hold you in the highest of regards. And I heard Noel say out of his own mouth, that, in all fairness to him, I guess, that you personally were the first one who gave him the absolute first, airing on BAI,
yeah,
which American Indian Show. You gave him a little space to speak about the wrongs of American Indians. But as far as everyone says, well, don't talk about BAI on the air. Don't air out our laundry and all this. But personally, so many folks love BAI with their heart that it's just like someone in your family who's sick, you know? Like, let's say, your favorite uncle or your favorite aunt. And when you're sick, that's all you're going to talk about. You're not going to talk about, something in the news. And we all want BAI to pull on through, but unfortunately, we'll never be the same. But I sure hope we can pull it on through. And I have to give you your flowers right now, Bob. While you're here, not when you're up at St. John the Divine. You know that's where they're gonna have your to-do at.
Oh, great.
When you're laid out there, I gotta give them to you right now.
I can hardly wait.
Oh, I know, but you've been the greatest. And I have one of the rare photographs. It was a while ago. Richard Avedon, he's gone now, but you took it with Dale Minor.
Right.
Yeah, Dale Minor was in it. Larry Josephson.
Steve Post.
You and...
Julius Lester. No,
oh, that's
Julius,
right, yeah.
Was Julius in that picture? No, I don't think so.
I can't remember. It's about four or five folks, and you were one of them. I should mail that to you and have you autograph it and send it back. But anyway, we sure hope BAI pulls on through, you know, because, like I said, I hold you in the highest regard. You never sold out, but I really have feelings that it has fingerprints of COINTELPRO all over it. I've heard many folks say that. And what will happen is they will start something and just let the organization or person self-disintegrate on their own, which leaves them less work to do. So we just hope, and you've had so many great shows, wonderful folks on your show over the years, folks who are no longer here, folks who are still here, Arlo Guthrie, oh man, just go down the list. So you have to keep continuing, Bob, and so does BAI. But one thing that does get me, though, is that in old days, like Pete Seeger would come on, and he'd do a great stint, and he raised a lot of money, just like maybe 68, let's say, something like that. And it was just wonderful. He said, well, you had a goal, you know, and a goal was set. Maybe you reached it. Maybe you went beyond. But you had like $200,000. He said, well, that was our goal. But now why is the goal so secret? I know it's hard.
Good question.
I know it's a good question. So many... It hurts me to the heart, you know.
But
we have to continue. We can't let BAI be thrown to the corporate dogs. God bless you, Bob.
Thank you. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, this is Liesl, and the only thing which comes to mind about Utrecht is power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Good night.
Good night. You're on the air.
Well, I'm very pissed off because a guy who has two shows on two other stations is allowed to have a show on this station, and the money that he makes from advertising his websites and his stuff in the store and his other radio stations, BAI should be making a percentage off of what he's getting outside of here. And I think he should be taken off the air immediately.
I'll tell him.
And I think it should happen immediately, and this should be brought up to Utrecht's lead, and it should be brought up to everybody else at this radio station, because this isn't right. He acts like who the hell he is on the air. He cuts people off when he wants to cut them off, and he's not democratic. He acts like a holier-than-thou guy. He makes a lot of mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes in his books, and he should be taken off the air immediately. And if he's going to do an investigative report, he should do an investigative report on himself.
Okay, I'll tell him. Bye. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm okay. Gosh, you're doing a rather courageous thing right now, I guess. It shouldn't be considered courageous because, you know, other people have been, you know, doing things on their programs and saying certain things. You're allowing people to have their voice and you're not interrupting or talking over them or yelling and screaming. Or...
Until now, I'm going to do it to you.
Oh, gee, thanks. I feel honored. God. I just wanted to say ditto what Nick said. The guy Nick who called earlier, when he was talking about there's a lot of venomous stuff coming out of folks' mouths. I know everyone's upset about, you know, current things, but, I mean, folks are saying some really nasty, because, I mean, they're people are people, blah, 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 see? Know what I mean? I mean, well, you know, what I'm saying is, you know...
I get the feeling of what you're saying perfectly.
there are people that are involved, and there were relationships that were, you know, just, you know, one person thought, the relationship was one way, and then, surprise, it was something else, or it wasn't, it's not the same. It's, you know, they've been hindered. And anyway, thank you. I'm glad you're still there.
Thank you.
Keith.
You're on the air.
Hey, Bob. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay.
You are great, man.
Oh.
How about some music?
What a good idea.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
Bye.